Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
Welcome to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal, where our goal is to change the way you practice dentistry by helping you achieve clinical, financial, and personal balance. Now, here's your host, T-Bone.
Hi, so today we're here with Dr. Brian Birch from Wyoming. Good Brian, how are you doing today?
Doing good. Doing well. It's good
you
to be here.
You like coming here so much. I don't know what's going on. I'm wondering. It's not an easy trip to come to Rockford.
No, it's a cross country. Yeah. It's a good time, though. I like to be here.
Yeah. So this is like your fourth trip? Third trip?
Third trip.
That's good. I appreciate that. My kids appreciate that too.
Yeah, they're good kids.
Yeah, no, they're not bad. So Brian, I wanted to bring you on because, you know, oftentimes we hear from dentists that, well, if I lived in a better place, if I lived in a more metro area, I could do some of the dentistry I want to do. So talk to us about where you're at. I mean, what is your practice like, and where do you live, and kind of what is where you live? I mean, what's going on around there?
Well, it's Wyoming. It's a rural community, a small town. Grew up there. And
City in Wyoming?
Green River. Southwest corner of Wyoming. It's a big state. I think it's one of the top five largest states in the United States, is in size-wise, but in population, the smallest. I think there's over 600,000 people total.
So 600,000 people.
600,000 total in
the whole state.
In that entire.
And then I think there's more deer and antelope.
We're known for the antelope. It's a rural USA.
And how big is Green River?
I think last I checked was around 13,000.
Okay. And how many dentists are in Green River?
There's five of us that are now practicing at this time.
So that's a good ratio.
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad.
Okay. Five full time. I think one is more part time.
Would you consider Green River an area where people have lots of money?
You know, it's a great economy. I think that the mining industry, oil, coal, a lot of mines there.
And is that more recent?
Very stable.
Or has that been forever?
It's been there for a long time. And so it's a lot of stability. A lot of guys will come out of high school and get great jobs and tend not to go to college because they're offered great money and,
Reasonable money.
Reasonable for them, you know, coming out without a degree,
right.
You know, it sounds lucrative to them.
Right.
So they stay. And, you know, a lot of hometown people that will stay and that love Wyoming. I think it takes a special person because we're at a different temperature, a different elevation. It's not a simple place to live for the.
Well, it sounds simple, you know.
It feels simple.
Middle of nowhere.
I love it. I grew up there, went off to college, Nebraska, and came back. And
do you live where you grew up?
I do. Obviously not same house, but same city. Yes.
Okay.
In the same place.
Wow.
So yeah, grew up there. My dad was a dentist. And,
okay. Did you take over your dad's practice?
I did. I've got two brothers that are dentists also.
Where are they at?
They're in Grand Junction and Brush, Colorado. And I'm the only one that came back and teamed up with my father 6 years ago. I lied, 11 years ago.
Okay.
And then he retired 6 years ago.
Okay. And so what is he doing now?
He is loving Hawaii.
He got tired of the cold and went to Hawaii.
Yeah, it's tired of the cold. He's a smart man. He said, I'm gonna get a good retirement and that's where I'm going to go. So
he
goes on vacation there. But he comes home quite often too.
Well, talk to us about your practice.
It's great practice. My dad,
no dentist says they have a bad practice.
No, of course. It's a challenge, you know. My dad set the practice up probably 38, 39 years ago. And I just took it from where he had it which was a very basic general dentistry. No technology, digital, nothing. And I walked in, we were dipping x-rays out of dental school. And this was in 2006. And I was not fond of that. I did it, but I knew the
moment.
Did
you have any control until he left?
Not really. I kept talking him into, hey, let's get this. And he would listen and he would do things. But the expense was just a little challenge, you know.
So when people say the challenge and the expense, that's like asking me. Like, there are things I don't want to spend the money on. And that's the challenge versus there are things that I literally can't spend the money on. So with your dad, does it sound like there's more that he didn't want to spend the money or he literally couldn't spend the
money? Oh, he could have spent the money. I think he was doing, he's been very successful and done fine financially and practice.
So I don't think mentality.
The mentality. I love my dad. I don't want to ever think that he just didn't want to help me, but it wasn't, you know, it was that generation that just, it was okay. It was fine doing what I was doing. I came in with a different mentality. I wanted to be progressive and grow and bring the technology that I knew was possible. And the moment he retired, I had a CT and a CEREC in my hands.
So, okay. So you wanted to off him basically is what you wanted to do.
Well, I was waiting to digitize everything the moment he finished. So I knew, and he knew it was going to happen.
Okay. So you graduated dental school in 2006.
2006.
You went back and started with your dad as an associate.
Okay. For 5 years.
And you essentially had no control.
I mean, he listened to me, but he was the sole owner.
So essentially you did dentistry his way.
Yeah, but he gave me a chance to grow. He said, why don't you go and become you? Yeah, I was trying to find my niche.
Yeah, but if you go become you, for example, and this is a common thing that any associate feels, whether you're an associate in your dad's practice, or associate, even in my practice or somebody else's practice, you can go learn something, but if the practice isn't structured to do it, to be able to really present or do that type of dentistry, then it becomes impossible or hard to do, essentially.
It's a ceiling. You know, it's a ceiling that I couldn't take it to the next level. I didn't feel like I could, more because I just felt like, well, I don't want to spend the money on that quite yet because I didn't think I could. And I felt like I had to ask permission. And
I'm 41 years old and I still ask permission.
We always should.
Yeah, we should. You know, I was probably more just, I just want somebody to say yes to me, right? To make sure I'm doing a good job. All right. So let's fast forward to essentially 2011. And your dad had started practice roughly 45 years before that. Yeah. Were you guys in the same place that he started in?
Pretty much. Yeah. He's been in that same building. So I kind of came into the building, which is an older building.
How big was it?
Oh, it's still the same. Well, we had four chairs when I came in. So he was doing two and I was doing two. About 2,000 square feet.
Plus hygiene.
Yeah. It wasn't much. It was just kind of small. And I had the ability that I felt like I could run the whole entire office individually, but I didn't have the space or the ability to do so. It wasn't my choice.
Oh, you didn't have the control.
I didn't have the control.
All right. So 2011, dad finally decides to retire. I think you probably.
But 2010, I think.
You probably poisoned him a little bit. You probably paid for his trip to Hawaii and said, you know, you should go look at this property while you're there.
I hope he enjoys that.
So now we're 2011 and now you're in control. And certainly we're blessed that we came into our father's footsteps. He mentored you and all of that. But you had this idea that you wanted to do something different.
I did.
How different was it?
360 degree change. I just took some steps and some risks that
Talk to me about that.
You know, I kind of always lived this mentality. You have to make a choice to make a change in your life. And if you don't make those choices to change, you'll go nowhere. And I felt like I had to make some choices, growth choices to change, and meaning I had to spend some money
to take out
make
loans.
My practice better. And I went to Patterson, and who I work with, and I bought a CT scan and a CEREC in the same month.
In 2011.
2011. And I just...
So that's $250,000, if not more.
It was about $250,000. Right. And it was hard for my wife and I at the time to go, what do we just do? Yeah. But it was the greatest decision I made.
Well, what made you want to do that? I mean, what made you think that that was the right choice for you?
I knew the potential. I've, you know, listened to podcasts. I've watched other dentists, and I knew if I just added that part of my practice to what I didn't have, the potential was there. I had to just give it a chance. And you can't grow. And I don't think you can grow unless you make a change. And that was my change.
I would even say something different from that. I would say you can't grow until you get disrupted.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, because the truth is, I mean, maybe at that time in your career, change is enough. But I look at myself and it's hard for me to change. I live in a nice home. I have a good life. I have a good practice. I have a good business going on. I have all those things. But I need a disruption, right? And to a certain degree, if you did what your dad was doing, you'd live a good life. I mean, because obviously it's proven he lived a good life and you can enjoy all those things. So to a certain degree, you had a disruption. You know, you took out that loan and you're like, and you said it. Oh, you're like, oh my God.
What have I done?
Yeah, what have I done? Right. So that's a disruption. Yeah. A change is you go in, you make a change in a team member, right? Okay. So that's a change. But a disruption is something that really like, okay, if this doesn't work, it's going to hurt.
It's going to hurt badly. Internally
badly. Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. So you got it. And so what kind of procedures were you doing pre taking over? I came to your practice as a patient. What could I get?
It's pretty much just regular general dentistry,
you which
know,
is
fillings and lab crowns, you know,
okay, bridges, dentures,
extractions, small extractions, you know, okay. Dentures, definitely dentures. Just the simple, regular general dentistry.
He
told me, he said, you need to learn how to do root canals because we're in a rural area.
Molar, anterior?
All of it.
Okay.
Second molars. And, you know, when I went to dental school, I really took that to heart because he told me to. And so I do a lot of root canals and I came in and that's what he gave me. He referred to me and then I referred out to endo as needed.
How far does a patient have to go in your area?
At the time, we had an endodontist come to another town 15 miles away.
How often?
Once a month. Once or twice a month.
So if I didn't get that once or twice a month,
you had to wait 3 or 4 weeks.
Or I had to drive.
Or to another dentist that.
Well, how far would I have to drive if I needed a specialist?
Two hours, Park City.
Okay. Utah.
Yes. At the time. And he always told me, he says, you know, I've lived a great life, like you said, and you'll be fine. Just keep doing what you're doing and you're not going to have a problem. I love that advice, but I had to take a chance
and take a chance on something more.
I wanted something more.
Yeah. You wanted something different.
And I knew I had to take a chance. That's why I took the chance to buy that product, the Ceric I took that chance. It was a disruption in my life and it became a good disruption.
So 2010, 11, 12, you bought technology. What was your expectations from that technology?
My expectation was to allow me to now control my schedule a little more, do what I wanted to, what I always wanted to do. I bought into the technology, went to courses, and I saw the potential from other doctors just talking to them. You know, I wanted what they were doing.
So procedure-wise, what was that?
Procedure-wise, like what I was doing?
Yeah. You bought the technology to do things.
Specifically at the time for crowns.
Crowns.
I wanted to be better, more proficient with crowns and provide to my patients so they don't have to wait 2 weeks or 3 weeks for, you know, and that was the main complaint. A lot of patients like, I got to wear this temporary. I mean, I got to come back, you know, and I felt like it was going to be a benefit to the patients because everything's about being better, faster, stronger, quicker. Yeah. And I kind of bought into that and thought, you know, this is going to provide that.
You know, it's interesting you say that. I grew up in a small town, certainly not as rural in the sense of space wise as you, but small town, like 6,000-7,000 people. Okay. And what I hear oftentimes from dentists who are in small towns is they say, you know, my patients are simple. They don't mind coming back in 2-3 weeks. Yeah. What would you say to that? I mean, you literally live small town America, like rural America, but you said that you felt that the patients wanted that convenience of single visit dentistry.
Well, there was two different kind of generations. My dad's generation with all his patients he had who were just fine waiting. That's just what they've always done.
They didn't know any better.
They didn't know any better. And you got this other generation, we call them the millennials. That want it quicker. Yeah. They want it fast. And so I had to kind of balance that and say, you know, do I just continue doing what my dad's been doing? And just, you know, because he was successful doing it. There's nothing wrong with it. Or do I take it to the next level? And I had to change their mentality of what was possible because they just didn't know. They didn't know what they didn't know. And I wanted to provide that and say, there's something greater out here for it. Okay. And that generation now is going, they expect to get a crown in one day.
Yeah. It's amazing. Same thing happened to us. Like, in fact, when we hire associates or have different dentists come in and they say, hey, I want to do a crown. I said, listen, you can't do any crown so you can do them in a single visit. Bottom line. Yeah. Well, I can take an impression port up. Nope. Direct digital in the mouth, get it done, hour and a half, 2 hours, 2.5 hours. I don't care. Yeah. One visit that you're going to numb that patient up once and be done. All right. What about the cone beam? What was your expectations with that?
That was a hard one because that was a lot of money and I didn't know how to pay for it. I mean, I didn't know how to do the procedures to get it paid back.
Right.
I was using it more for root canals, taking a shot so I could see the canals.
So that was more of a luxury item in your mind.
Yeah. Pretty much a luxury.
True luxury.
So yeah, I mean, it's like we bought a portion, just put it in the garage, you know, and we use it occasionally. But I knew where I was going to go to the next level, which was implants.
Okay. So you had in your mind that this technology is really designed for implantology.
Yeah. I just didn't know where to go with it.
Okay.
So at the time.
Okay. I gotcha. Did you have a moment of craziness that you bought both together?
Yes. The entire year. It was, what have I done?
Yeah.
I should have bought the Ceric and then guided myself into the cone beam.
That's what you were thinking at the time.
Yes. But I just jumped in. I jumped off the cliff.
Yeah.
I jumped and I started to kind of realize what I had in my office.
Okay.
And it could provide so much. And I was not educated enough how to use it. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I gotta go learn. No. Yeah. I mean, you get this technology and you got to learn how to drive it.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how to drive it. And so I was like, I need to go learn.
It's interesting. Actually, let's use the driving terminology here. So actually, I would say that Patterson does a good job of teaching you how to drive your car. Okay. Drive your CERC machine. I think that's where they stop, and purposely so, designed so. And I think to really drive your car, right? To really experience it and to drive the Porsche in a way, right? To drive it and feel it and experience, I think you got to go learn more. And that's what you're talking about. You're talking about, hey, listen, I didn't want to just do single visit crowns. Yeah. Okay. It sounds like you want to do more with it. You want to go beyond just single visit crown, maybe multiple crowns, maybe anteriors, maybe bridges, maybe implants and stuff like that. So let's talk about your implant journey. How'd you get started? Because with your dad, you weren't placing any.
None.
Did you have a patient population for it even?
Oh yeah. I mean, patients would say, I'd love to have implants. We'd refer them out, and then it just nothing, no follow up. No one knew what to do. I didn't know how to get them to I'd get them to surgeons, and I had a few take the step into the implant world, and then we'd restore it. And I'd still restore it with the labs because I didn't know how to do the CERC restoration.
Fine. Okay.
Then I was kind of cutting across Facebook. You know, we're on Facebook, and I found your site, 3D Dentist. And I started to kind of research into that a little bit. And my first course was your 3D implementation. And I just said, I'm going to go learn how to, it seemed to be CERC involved, 3D CT scan involved, you know, do digital dentistry and be able to provide this to the patients. And that's kind of what I want. I wanted the simplified way of doing it. So it looked easy, but it has some difficult things.
We make it look that way.
It didn't, not that you made it easy. It just looked like this. I can do this.
Yeah.
How can I not do this? But I had to go get education. So I took your course.
Yeah.
And I flew out here all the way from Wyoming.
Well, it's a long way, man.
It's a long way.
I still keep saying it's a long way. All right. So where are you at in your implant journey now? I mean, are you doing well with it? Are you happy with it?
I think we need to take it to another level. I mean, I love it. We started back in May. You know, I took your course last year and I went right down. We started scheduling and we placed implants, and I need to take it to the next level. You know, so we're just getting that feel and getting our feet wet, you know, but I love it. It's taking it to a whole nother level. My CT scan now is what it's for.
Okay. So you came last 2016. So that took you like 4 years.
Yeah.
So you're paying for this thing and not really using it for
waiting.
4 years.
It has probably not the smartest thing ever.
No, but you got away with it.
Yeah. I mean, we still made it work and, you know, we used it the best we could.
Okay.
Not getting a lot of reimbursement from it because we just didn't know how to do that.
At
the time.
Okay. So now let's talk about this. So what you had said earlier was that you'd see patients and they'd say, hey, I'd love to get an implant. You'd send them somewhere and you may not hear back. They may not get it done. I call that follow through rate. Yeah. In other words, the completion rate. Would you say that percentage wise, your completion rate is better now that you can do it all start to finish?
Yeah. Patients love it. They want to stay. They don't want to keep going from doctor to doctor. Yeah. They love the fact that they can get this done in essentially 3 visits.
Okay.
Essentially, that's what we try to do. Not every case is going to be that way, but you know, I mean, they love that. They love the fact that I can get a tooth in this amount of time with just you, with this technology.
Yeah. And reasonably cost.
Yeah, you can do that. And when I say yes to them, let's do it.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family, T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
You know, patients want to feel that confidence. And you just say, I just love how you say, when I say yes to them, it's not like when I say maybe to them, when I say, well, I think so, you know, I think we can do a good job. It's like, yeah, of course, you know, and who doesn't want to be with somebody that's confident, right? Now, there's a difference in confidence and arrogance.
Arrogance, yeah.
Okay. But when you're so confident that you have the skills to do it, that's great. All right. So now I want to go backwards a little bit. So you took over the practice from your dad. What about the team? How many of those team members, how many team members were there then?
Not very many. Eight.
Okay.
Six to eight, probably.
Okay. And not many. That sounds like a lot of people.
It does sound like a lot, you know, but that's with two doctors and only one hygienist.
Okay.
You know, and we just didn't have the feel of how to do it.
Okay.
And everyone's going to think I'm crazy. I work five chairs and I have 11 staff.
Okay. Team members.
Team members. Yeah. I always do that. I can never catch myself on that.
How many of those eight people that were with your dad are still with you today?
She just retired. The last one, she was there for 35 years.
Okay.
But since then, I have kind of built that that team member group, and probably two.
Two. Was that by design, or did that just kind of evolve?
I would say both. I mean, I had a vision of what I wanted and what I wanted. I mean, you see a lot of dentists lose. It's a ratio. It's a turnover.
Right.
And I wanted to create a team that had my vision. So I knew I had to start somewhere, and I kind of had that vision that, Dad, this is where I'm going to go. And he was all on board with me. So he let me start hiring.
When you first got there?
Probably the second year.
Okay, yeah.
He let me kind of pick, and I started choosing kind of who I wanted. And we went through some hard times. You know, we didn't have the right team members at every single moment.
What about finding people in such a smallish area, smallish town?
That's a hard thing.
Well, it's not a smallish area. It's huge, but yeah.
They're loyal, though. Yeah. And that's what I love about a small town is when you get the right person on board, they are loyal to you.
Yeah. And you treat them well.
You treat them well.
And they're with you a long time.
Long time.
And they know the patients.
And they go through the pains with you. It's a growing pain situation with them. But, you know, they're loyal. They find if you treat them well, they're going to stay with you. I have one right now for 8 years.
That's good.
My assistant from the start, my dad was there at the time, and she's still with me. And there's been some ups and downs, but she's one of the best assistants I've ever seen.
Is that Charity?
Yes, that's Charity. Yeah,
she's been here a few times. She's a sweet lady.
Yes, she is.
All right. So now, where do you think you're going to go with Sarah and Combeam next? What do you see on the horizon for yourself in that?
My next step is to take it to, you know, dentless patients. Okay. I want to do the 4-on-1s. I want to go to, you know, placing multiple implants. I'm doing single right now. Okay. I want to do anteriors. I haven't done an anterior case. I'm still trying to wet my feet in the premolar molar area. Take it to that level. I love guided surgery. Yeah. I mean, to mill a guide out right there. And yeah, it just makes sense.
What are you charging for an implant start to finish? I walk in your office and I'm missing tooth number 19.
$3,500.
Okay.
That's everything.
Everybody in your office knows that number?
Everybody knows
that. So if I call on the phone and say, how much do you charge for this?
We'd say start finish to get your tooth again, $3,500.
That's great. You know, because too many people can't answer the question. Too many dentists can't answer the question. I'm like, if you can't answer it, how in the world are your team member going to answer? You know, how is your hygienist going to answer it when they see that patient in the recall and things like that? So.
And I want them to know that because I don't even want to mention it. I don't want to say it. Yeah. And they're already on top of it.
So. Yeah, you just want to walk in and you want to say, I'm sure Charity told you what this costs. Huh? Do you have any questions for me on the clinical aspects? Huh? Great. And move on.
And I want to tell them I can do it. Yes. Yeah. And let's go. And they're right on board. So the team's on board with that.
Is it changing your practice?
I think we're growing 30% every year because of this.
And you recently built a new building?
We're in the process of getting ready to build this building, hopefully breaking ground in spring.
Okay, what's your anticipation there? What are you trying to do that for? So you're in 2,000 square feet right now.
About 2,000 square feet. Okay. We're going to up it to about 5,800 square feet.
Okay, so triple.
Triple. I think we're going to 10 chairs.
Okay.
So we're doubling the chairs. My anticipation for this.
That's building, another disruption.
It's a huge disruption. Yeah. It's a scary disruption. I mean, bank and the loans and the growth, you know, how we're doing it, we have to demolish our building. So we have to find a temporary site.
Oh my God. So you're building it where you're at.
We're building where we're at. Cause we're on the main street, which is a great location. And I just felt like we needed to stay there. So I didn't go look for more land. I thought let's demolish instead of rebuild because it's such an old building and we have land next door. So we're going to build onto that. And we found a temporary location, which is going to work out great. So it's going to be a big disruption starting in March.
How long do you think it's going to take to build?
About a year.
About a year.
Yeah. So 2018, we're hoping to be in it spring.
Ground up. Well, actually building down, ground up construction.
Building down, ground up. About a year. That's what the contractor says. Right. So year and a quarter.
Year and a quarter. Weather might play a role in that with you where you're at. Well, if you're starting March, you should pretty much miss.
These guys know how to work in the cold, so they just keep going.
That's awesome.
So we're excited about it. And my goal is to bring on an associate and hopefully some specialists in my practice. I'm going to have two surgical chairs there so I can bring in endo, surgery, you know, pedo, ortho.
Does anybody else in town have anything like
that? Not in my town.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
The close town next door, there are some dentists that do have the technology. But in mine, I think I'm the only one that has the CT and the CERIC.
And do patients comment on that?
Yes.
They notice.
They love. It's amazing. You think at the time, you know, they're going to be, why, you know, I didn't see where my money's going.
Yeah.
It's not that way. That was my mentality. But they'll say, I love what you're doing for us. And most of them, they see the technology and they become a part of it. And they know, they expect it now. They know I'm putting that money back into the practice for them. And
there's a mentality out there that people say, well, if I spend too much money, people are going to say, oh, I see why my fees are so much. And, I think that mentality has gone to a certain degree in the patients. And here's my reasoning behind that. You know, when I was growing up in the 80s and 90s, only fancy cars had fancy things. Like literally, you know, if you wanted a car with a digital radio or a CD player, you had to buy like a Mercedes. Okay. If you want a car with airbags, you had to buy like that, you know? So you had to buy high end to see that. So those things were associated with technology and advancements were associated with high dollar situations. In today's world, everything has digital radios, digital TV screens in the cars, Bluetooth, backup cameras. I mean, think about this. How do you buy a car without a backup camera today? I mean, you can't. Almost.
They're always there.
So I think what's happened is, the patient population, the consumer, has become so numb to technology. They become so expectant of technology that they're not seeing the average healthcare provider keep up with that technology. So when they find someone or they experience it, instead of saying, oh my God, they say, thank God.
Yes.
You know, they're like, thank you. I mean, at least there's something now that's keeping up with what we're doing.
I'd say 90% of the patients that have come in and seen this change. Because the ones that were with my father, they're the ones that see the big portion.
And they're proud of you for it.
Oh, yeah. They thank me. Thank you for doing this because they know what technology is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. They're smart.
I mean, everybody has a phone in their pocket.
They know exactly what's going on.
They know what technology is. I mean, it's not like the older days where people didn't know.
And they almost start to believe in you. Like, you know, you're putting this for me. You're doing this for me. And thank you for taking the next step.
And they refer others.
Oh, yeah. I've had a lot of people come and say, you know, my previous dentist didn't have this, and I want to have the best. I want the best for me and my family. Thank you for doing this, and we're part of your family.
You take insurance?
Yes.
When I say take insurance, you're a network provider?
We are a network provider.
Why do you do that?
You know, a lot of them, the economy, the mines, they are in network with companies, and, you know, we had to make that choice. We will lose a lot of patients, and it's kind of that. It's a hard defining line. Where do you say no? Where do you not? I have a lot of loyal patients that have called and said, you know, we really need this insurance, and we need you to be a provider. And it's too hard on a family to not have that. And, you know, and you got others that say, we're going to stay with you no matter what. But I had to kind of decide, where do I want to go? And we have such a huge patient base out of these mines and out of this economy. I just felt like that was the way we had to go.
No, of course, right? But see, to me, what you're saying is you understand the market that you're in.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're servicing your patient base. You're servicing the market that you're in. You're not trying to rock the boat and go uphill. And so there's, you know, I look at it that way. There's nothing wrong with taking insurance. You know, use it for general dentistry. Yeah. You know, it brings the patient base in the door. You know, as I talk about general dentistry, advanced dentistry, and emotional dentistry, you know, the insurance at the end of the day fills your general practice. See, what I try to tell people is insurance will fill your general practice and make it so that you never worry about the bills. Okay. And that's what filling
crowns
keeps you busy, right? It makes sure that you know, you're going to live a good life. Okay, you're going to not be poor. You're not going to be worrying about food and those things. Okay, what happened for me at least is then it released that tension, that fear that I can take that four-letter word RISK risk. You know, like you talked about, and then now you say, okay, you know what? I can take that risk and I can see if this works, and I can see what it brings, and that brings you into the advanced dentistry. And once you get, and that's where you're starting to go into now with the implants and some of these other things. Is you're starting to do this advanced dentistry, and what's going to happen there is you're already saying it. Then you're saying, you know what? I want to go into this all on four business. And that's emotional dentistry, right? So without even knowing it or saying it or seeing it, what you're doing is you're gradually progressing from general dentistry to advanced dentistry. And now you want to take it to another level to emotional dentistry. And that's how you're going to bring an associate in. And that's how you're going to buy yourself more time and stuff like that.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training, Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into full arch implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-on-X fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories. You're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too, teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course, it's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3ddentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode.
The first implant I placed was emotional for me. Yeah. I mean, meaning that it just...
How much time did you schedule for that?
We made it its own day because we weren't sure what the heck, you know, we didn't want to be.
I mean, guided and everything. Oh,
I got done like 30, 40 minutes.
I'm going, like, what are we going to do?
What am I going to do? I got all day now. Yeah. And so we just didn't know what we didn't know. And now that we see it, we're like, you know, maybe we can put this in a regular day.
Yeah.
You know, I like to be in there. I don't want to leave the patient. Yeah, sure. And I want to keep it very specific to them. So we took a day, a Friday that I wasn't working and just said, we're doing implants this day, and that's it. And realized I got 3 hours between patients now. What am I doing? You know.
So that's interesting. That, you know, this reminds me of a previous podcast episode that I did, probably about almost a year ago. It talks about bringing in new procedures into your practice, and one of the things I talked about, and one of the things that we've done over the years, is I've always set aside my day off as my day to try things. So I remember when I first started doing sedation. Like, sedation literally scared me to death, literally to death, right? So now it's like, whatever, no big deal, right? Yeah. But I remember when we started doing oral sedation, I said, okay, we're going to do this case on a Friday. Okay, so literally Friday was the first case. So that way there's no hygiene, there's nothing else going on. I literally don't need to leave the room, and that's all I'm focused on. And then once we got that, I said, okay, Thursday is going to be our oral sedation day. I'm going to block off Thursday mornings for our sedation cases. And then once we got that filled and once we got really clear with our workflow, then we said, okay, we can do a sedation any day. And that's what's going to happen to you with implants. You set aside the day, you got the workflow. You're like, okay, this wasn't as bad as I thought. This way you're not, you know, worrying about hygiene checks, all this other stuff going on. Next thing you know, this is going to be an everyday thing for you. I mean, any day of the week kind of thing.
We're kind of excited right now what we're doing. Instead of picking just a Friday that, you know, that means other people have to come in on their day off. We picked 1 or 2 days a month where it's, we call it our rock day. That's the big stuff. You know, we can put our implants in there, a big case, crowns, you know, potential more restorations. On the other side, the hygienists are working all root plane scales. They don't have to go do checks on.
Yeah, so you have to do less checks.
So they're, less checks.
Can they numb in Wyoming?
Can they, yes, they can.
Okay. So you literally don't have to go in there.
Yeah. So it makes it easy. So if I let them do the thing, highly productive day, you know, it's one of our big production days. So that's kind of where our next step is to move out of my Friday. I don't want anyone touching me.
You want your Fridays, yeah.
Yeah, and so it kind of opens that up so we don't have to be there every Friday, but that's where our next step is too. And so this month we're doing that day coming up in a week or two here where we have that big rock day.
You know, it's interesting. There's a marketing perspective to that. You know, it's like if you go to a sought after doctor or a heart surgeon or something, they have days and times that they do their surgeries. They don't say, when do you want to do your surgery? Oh, I'll do it at 11 o'clock today, right? They say, okay, I do surgeries on Tuesday mornings or Thursday afternoons or whatever it may be. And the patients accommodate to it. You know, and to a certain degree, those kind of procedures, you guys should accommodate to that, you know, and that way, you know, it kind of goes together there. So that's interesting that you say that. So talk to us. So some of the things that you've taken from us have been medical billing and sleep apnea. So how's that going in your practice?
We just started in November, pretty much.
So two or three months in.
And we were told to crawl. We kind of ran because it was such a great thing. I think I'm one of the only ones doing this in my area.
Another unique selling proposition.
Yeah. And there were so many people crying out for help. And we didn't know how to respond to that. I mean, you could see it right in front of us. They fall asleep after you numb them while they're waiting to go, you know, they're snoring in our chair.
And you just think it's normal.
And we thought it was normal. And, you know, my spouse, I was just tired of the way they don't sleep and this and irritated and ornery and snoring. And we just, I'm sorry, you know, I'm sorry about that. And we just move on from the subject. And I kept thinking, there's got to be something greater. So, of course, I went back to your website and we're going to take this course. Yeah. So I brought two of my team members and we came down and we just got a fire under our fannies, man. We went home and it just took off. I had the technology and the CT scan. All it does is create awareness. Creates awareness.
I get this thing like I'm telling people a diagnosis and it's not even remotely true. It's all about just you need a prop. Yeah. It's a prop to get them to the diagnosis stage. That's it.
And they're standing. So, you know, they're not even sleeping. They're standing. Yeah.
And they could be breathing. The tongue could be anywhere.
Yeah, they can move their tongue out and they'd see a different visual, you know. And so I just, you know, we just give them the signs are more what they tell us.
Yeah.
We get their story and then we try to just jump on that story and help them get to where they can have a healthier life. It's about teaching your team. And that's where we're kind of at right now. Our team, we're trying to get, we've got a lot of team members going in different directions.
Right.
Because they don't know where to go.
Who doesn't?
And that's it's one of my questions. How do I get them all in the same direction, on the same path, in the same car? And I've got my hygienist, Lori, who is teaming this up with me. She's kind of heading the sleep program.
So she's your champion.
She's my champion and she is. I couldn't have asked for someone better. Okay. She is just on board. And it's her and I trying to just get everybody else. Nancy's kind of getting on there and we're just trying to get everyone else on that same path. That's my challenge is how do I train them? How do I get them to see the vision, the why we're doing this?
And Charity is your implant champion.
She's my implant champion.
Because she's the one that always
one of the best Sarah assistants I've ever seen.
And see, I like to have that champion mentality. Like, you have to have somebody that owns it. Like, in my practice, Liz owns sleep, and she owns Sarek, and she's transferring off Sarek to Whitney in our practice. And Liz owned implants, and slowly she's going to transfer that off to Whitney so that she can focus on the sleep. Yeah. And I've got another project that I'm working on from an education side that I want Liz to be involved in. And so I think, and then Megan is moving from doing just hygiene to owning, being a champion of patient coordination, you know, having that point of contact for patients who need complex care or need to coordinate their care. So we're moving in that direction. So it's interesting. So what's on the horizon for you? What's on your mind? What interests you?
Just taking it to the next level.
Level? You've got next level in your mind.
The next level, you know, it's building this beast. This practice that we're about to jump into, bringing an associate on and taking it to a level where we can provide for patients that they're begging us for implants. Cause I'm just starting them. I don't even know what I'm even into yet.
Yeah. It's a big rabbit
hole. Giving that emotional. I mean, there's a lot of patients with dentures and nobody wants to help them. They're just saying, we'll reline your denture.
Yeah.
And that doesn't do them any good.
No, crap.
Yeah. Maybe for a day or two. Then they're back. You're saying my denture's falling out again.
Yeah. And then you have to deal with it.
You have to deal with it. So I want to take it to the next level to give them that emotional change in their life. You know, that 4-on-1. I want to learn how to do that. Take this practice and bring in an associate or a specialist.
Yeah.
You know, to allow them to do some of those things that maybe I was focusing too much on.
Yeah. Maybe gum grafting.
Grafting.
Things like that you have to send out.
Yeah, I try not to.
Who wants to see kids?
At first I thought, this is great. I love kids. And next thing you know, I'm going, what am I doing?
Yeah.
You know, there's so many greater things that give me happiness and kids are awesome. Someone needs to treat them. So I need someone to come and do that for me. Give me more time to do what I want to do.
So you had a true life-changing event. Well, it's been about a year now, right?
Less than a year. June 25th.
June 25th. So he knows the date. Okay. Let's walk our listeners through your life-changing event. What happened to you?
Actually, it probably started earlier than that. We lost my mother-in-law to cancer, brain cancer, in February of last year.
Okay.
And she went through, it was a very traumatic change for my wife still at this time. You know, it's going to be forever.
Right.
I was very close to her. Most people can't say that about their mother-in-laws, but I love that woman with all my heart. She treated me like her own son. So we were going through this and I'm a big hunter. I love Wyoming. I love the hunting, love the outdoors. I have horses, 3 horses. And
they're like yours.
They're my horses.
Okay.
And I take them hunting, trail riding. I don't show them and we don't do all that professional stuff. This is to get my fanny in the mountains and carry my game out. And we were doing a scouting trip in June with a friend of mine, actually Lori's husband, who is my hygienist. And we went in and I had an experience up there that probably changed a lot of my mentality, a lot of my life at that moment. You know, I was doing well. I had everything, felt like I had everything going for me, really going in a good direction. Of course, through that emotional change with my mother-in-law, and we ran up this trail, got up that morning, beautiful morning, Wyoming, crisp morning, June 25th. And I happened to have a horse that decided he didn't want to ride.
He didn't like
me that day. He's been a great horse 2 years previous. And he bucked me off and sprained my ankle, and we kind of had a little duke out, you know, and I got back on him. He started heading up the trail, and I could feel him getting ready to buck again. So I bailed. And as I was coming off, I put my foot on the ground and he bolted on me, and my foot got stuck up in the stirrup. Anyone that's been on a horse knows that they are extremely powerful.
Oh, yeah,
they were a fly to them.
Creatures, yeah.
And they can do whatever they want to you whenever they want. And I had no reins to control him. He had full control. So I'm being, when he flung me to the ground, I dislocated some ribs and he started dragging me. I'm stuck in the stirrup now. And I had a moment there where my life flashed in front of me. I knew I was in big trouble. There were trees downfalling.
And this is a matter of seconds.
This is seconds. It was fast. And this trail is probably a foot and a half wide, trees everywhere. He just had to turn and I would have been slammed into a tree. I was stuck on the stirrup. He could have done anything he wanted to me at that time. I was at his mercy. And I reached up to grab my foot because I knew I had to get out of the stirrup. And the moment I reached up, grabbed my foot just to release it, I must have rubbed his back foot. He just wound up that back leg, kicked me right in the face. And
not in the face.
Right in the, yeah, I mean,
yeah, just between the eyes.
Right
literally.
Between the eyes. And I got a scar. I don't know if you can see it, but it's, there was a tree that was across the trail and he was running for that tree to jump it.
Mm-hmm.
And he kicked me just before the tree and it released me. Thank heavens. And spun me around.
He kicked you and released you.
Kicked me and released me. Yeah. Got me out. And then he jumped and took off. And I'm laying there, just standing there thinking, I just got kicked by a horse. It never knocked me out. I don't know how.
Well, not do you remember.
That I remember. According to, I remember being kicked. I remember everything, which is crazy. I remember getting kicked. I remember sitting there. And next thing you know, my life was in the hands of mercy of the Almighty, you know, to, was I going to live or not? I'm 3.5 hours from a hospital. No help, no cell phone. And this friend of mine pretty much saved my life. He was there for me. I had a special experience at that moment and we got down to the truck and he got me to the hospital 4 hours later. And I went home.
Bleeding for 4 hours.
I was bleeding for pretty much 4 hours. They said 3 to 4 pints of blood. I was in trouble.
Were you still conscious?
I was.
The whole way home?
The whole way home.
To the hospital.
And I got there in the hospital and the doctors were kind of, you got kicked by a horse, and they took the bandage off and they went into.
Oh, God.
Oh, yes. I mean, we're in trouble. And they thought I was going to have brain damage. They didn't know what was wrong. You know, if my eyes were going to have some damage. I left the hospital 6 hours later and I was back to work 5 days later. It was a miracle, pure miracle. And I don't know at the time, I always looked at life as I'd be frustrated sometimes. And, some of my team members might say a little bit more than normal. And my cup was always half empty, not always half full. And my gratitude changed dramatically that day. I was given another life. He could have killed me. And the doctor said, had my head just been turned.
Should have.
Yeah. Had my head just been turned. I mean, the way he came in with that hoof, had he just come in just to the side or lower or in the eye, there goes my dental career, my family, kids, my team members, no job. I mean, it was really one of those life changing moments. And I kind of looked at it with a different eye. And I kind of had a roller coaster moment there. I had a month where I really hit a low. I had all this gratefulness. People saying, I'm so grateful you're alive. And then I started looking as I kind of feel sorry for me. I'm the loser.
You're the victim.
I'm the victim. And had a great experience with my mom who sat me aside and kind of gave me that kid talk. You need a little butt kicking. And she just gave it to me and woke me up. Now my wife always says, why couldn't I have done that to you? And I said, well, it's mom. There's a difference with mom. She can
touch.
Just has the touch, and she kind of felt bad about that. But I turned around probably in August and I started to go, I'm going to look at life now with a cup half full and I'm going to take advantage of everything that I can.
So 2 months, you're down in the dumps.
2 months. I was back at work 5 days later and I was down the dumps, just attitude, personality. I didn't really want to grow. Didn't want to do anything. Had all this stuff right in front of me that I could do and I didn't want to do it. And it just changed. Probably October, November is when it just changed. And I came to this course and team members started to just help me out. They stuck with me. That's what I loved. The team that I had they didn't give up on me. They knew I was in trouble mentally, physically.
That's a family.
It was.
Yeah.
And they are. And, we have our struggles. We still do. And I'm not perfect. I still have my moments that I'm kind of ornery, but it changed me. And that became the moment where I said, I'm going to take advantage of everything I can. I'm going to go become better. I'm going to go grow more. I'm going to do things that I didn't think I could do. That I never thought I could do. So why am I here? Why am I doing the sleep stuff? Because I can do it.
Yeah.
Why am I going to go learn how to do 4-in-1s? Why not? It's just, I'm given another chance. I should have died that day. And it changes your life when you have a moment like that. Well, I'd be forever grateful that I have a scar between my eyes. I've been even told, hey, why don't you get that fixed? It's a story now. You know, and I walk into patients and it creates a story to them, and they start to go, no, this guy's real. You know, so hopefully that's how they feel.
You have so many things going. So, all right, let's turn the tables now. So now, you have any questions for me? Any things you want me to talk about?
I think that one question I had is, how do you train a team to have that same direction? You know, I've got all this all over the place, arrows going, and frustration with not maybe seeing the vision that I see. You know, how do you get them to see that vision?
Well, you know, I look at that differently, and it's interesting. I have the same problem, you know, and I luckily I can go to my father and ask these questions about business and things, and I always look at my dad and I say, Dad, you know, why don't you change this about this person? No, this person doesn't see it the way we see it. And he always said to me listen, you need to see it the way they see it. And what he tried to say to me was essentially, there's a reason people work for you. There's a reason people have a certain education level. And ultimately, at the end of the day, if everybody was like you or saw things the same way you saw it, they wouldn't be working for you. You'd be working for them. You know, so ultimately what you have to do is, to a certain degree, you have to look at what the strengths of people are. And part of being a leader is being able to maximize what people have, right? You know, if you look at basketball coaches, why does Coach K get out more than Roy Williams? And I'm a UNC fan, okay? And I would say UNC over the years has had way more talent than Duke, okay? Mm-hmm. But Duke has more national championships than UNC does in terms of Coach K versus those guys. And I would say it's coaching. It's that leadership. It's that ability to look at what does somebody have and what can you get out of them? Mm-hmm. What are their strong points? Who's the right champion? Who's not the right champion? And I think the other thing that you have to do is you have to empower people a little bit. You know, and there are people in each practice that other people look up to and say, hey, if this person's on board, I'm on board, right? And so you have to give them that strength to lead and all of those things, you know. And so I would say that's the thing. And then the other thing is you have to have constant education. And, you know, education isn't always taking people places, okay? No. In today's world, you can have virtual education team meetings. You can have lunch meetings. You can have webinars. You can have so much YouTube, Google. You have so much access to items. And so I think those are the things. And then going back to each individual person, I think setting individual goals. As a dental practice, most of us are very good at setting group goals. Hey, I want to produce X. I want to collect X. I want to do X number of whatever it is. But I think one area that we can all improve in is setting individual goals. You know, you should look at yourself and say, hey, you have your own individual goals. You have in your mind what you want to do for yourself, right? Then you should look at Charity and say, Charity, you know what? You're my implant champion. You know, for us to be successful in 2017, I want to do 50, 60, 10, 20, whatever the number is. And assign that to her and say, what do we got to do to make that happen? And check in on her every couple of weeks and say, Charity, how are we looking for this? What can I do to support you? And then Lori, who's going to be your sleep champion, you know, set that goal, Lori. And not just set it yourself, bring them in on it. Hey, Lori, listen, you know, I'm turning you, you're going to be the sleep champion. You're going to own this and give them ownership in a way, right? And ownership isn't giving them money always. Mm-hmm. It's about giving them a goal and something to strive toward. Lori, well, how would you measure success? What do you think our potential is? And, you know, your team members will self-set their goals. Like Liz in my office, she said, I got this goal. I want to do 10 sleep appliances in January. I'm like, great, let's do it.
Let's go for it.
You know, why would I say no to that, right? You know, and she in her mind has it, right? And I keep saying to her every other day or so, I say, hey, Liz, how are we doing? No pressure. You know, what can I do to support you? You need me to go out and meet some sleep physicians? You need me to go do something? What can I do to help you? You know, and then she's like, well, you know, I talked to the hygienist. I let him know what my goal was. So she's going to her team members and saying, hey, this is my goal. You know, if you see any patients, don't hesitate to come get me. And so I think those are some of the things that you got to do.
Like that.
You got to set a vision of what you want. That's called leadership. And then you got to go to each person and kind of set an individual goal. And when you set multiple individual goals, it adds up to the big goal. You know, there's no right or wrong answer to it, but that's one way of looking at it.
Now, I kind of do with the team, I've done it's called the 4-year, 3-quarter goal setting. Okay. So every quarter we just do goals and we try to get them done by April. And then we set 4 more, whatever goals it is for the next quarter. It just feels like a lot of people just don't get their goals by next January and we've dumped them, you know, 30% are finished. So we try to do that. But I love that. I love that because it entitles them to, you know, it takes that to another level. It's my goal. I'm the one who set it.
Yeah.
I like that. I think that's going to work great because we're kind of in that moment right now. Where do we take this to? You know, how do we get them on board? And
it's new for everybody. It's new for you.
It's hard.
It's new for them. You know, you're trying to implement something in between fillings and crowns. You know how I talk about it. I don't want you doing fillings and crowns anymore, you know. So, yeah. So, and then, you know, if a team member sets a goal that I think is too low, I may say, okay, I'll go with that for a month or two.
Push them to a little bit more.
Okay. But where I think we need to be is 10. What would it take for us to be at 10? And they will say, well, we'll never get there. That's not your champion. Because if you can't even see what it takes to get there, you're not the champion.
Never get there.
So what I would say is, if somebody said, God, 10's a lot, and I say, what would it take to get there? Like, well, God, we would have to do this, this, and this, and this. Okay. That's somebody that sees that, right? So that's somebody that can be a champion. And then you got to support them. Because if you don't support them, they're never going to get there. You know, they may say you have to do some marketing. You may have to do this. You may have to do community events. You know, things in your area, things like community events, where if you can bring, you know, this is what we're going to do this year in 2017 for our practice, is we're bringing myself, talking about oral appliances. We're bringing a psychiatrist in, who happens to be my wife, talking about insomnia and sleep-related mental issues. We're bringing in our sleep physicians, okay? Mm-hmm. And they're going to talk about overall sleep. And we're going to do public education seminars at the office. Nice. You know, maybe once a quarter, invite people in. Maybe we'll record it, and then we'll make it a webinar for people to watch on YouTube, Facebook, different things like that. And that way they get an overall holistic perspective of how sleep affects their life, not just me selling them an oral appliance, but looking at, say, listen, we want to help you be better, okay? And if my wife can help you, great. If the sleep physician can help you, great. If I can help you, great. But we want to be that source for the community. And I think that that's important for us as well. And and same thing with, you can do that with implants and all kinds of things. What else you got in your mind?
How do I take it to the next level? I mean, I've got a dream.
You got to define. Hey, let me ask you a few questions. All right. So these are somewhat personal. Okay. Yeah. So if you're not comfortable, won't hurt my feelings. So you want next level. Okay. I look at next level always as this comfort and confidence to be free to take risks. Okay. And I think to be free to take risks, you got to know that you got your family taken care of. So, what do you do for savings? I don't need numbers. Okay.
No.
But, you know, do you regularly save?
Yeah,
do you have
a
goal?
We do. I mean, I watched my father, who was incredible at his savings. He's living a life that he always, you know, does he have the world around his
of course
grasp?
Not,
no,
yeah,
but he is in
he's
Hawaii.
Comfortable.
He's uncomfortable. Very comfortable.
Yeah. And Hawaii's not a cheap place to live.
No, has what he wants. You know, he goes there quite often. And so he's kind of set the grounds of how to get there. And now, have we done it perfect? No, but we definitely have a savings.
Okay.
You know,
we have accountants.
We have we do. We have we have a CPA that helps us with that.
And you put money away every month.
We try.
Okay. So let's talk about, don't do try.
We actually do it on a year. So we have it set apart for what it is each month, and it goes in on the end of the year.
Okay. So here's what I would suggest you change on that. Okay. Is whatever your number is, let's just use $10,000 as your number annually. Okay. I hope it's more than that, but let's just use that number. Okay. So that 10,000 divided by 12, let's use $12,000. My number is easier. It's $1,000 a month. Ultimately, I want that to be in your head, it needs to be a mortgage payment. Okay. Before you spend any money on anything else, horses, whatever it is, the extra things that you want in life.
Let's just get rid of them.
You know, well, unfortunately, you may need to get rid of one, but.
Oh, he's gone.
Yeah.
He's gone.
So, you need to make that $1,000 bill because you pay your rent and or your mortgage or whatever you have. It's like the first things that come out of your bank account, correct? I think your freedom fund, okay, your money for your retirement should be one of the first things that come out of your bank account before you live your life. Okay. And whether that number needs to be $100 a month when you're starting small, $200 a month, and it just needs to become a bill that goes in annually.
It's part of the bills.
And you just don't feel it. Like if I tried to write my check at the end of the year, I'd be like, there's no way I can write this check. But if I just try to do it in chunks, equal chunks, I don't even notice it. And then every year, my goal is to up that number by $1,000. So 10 years from now, my number is going to be 10,000 more. I can't go from zero to 10 grand like that, but I can go 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and get there. And before you know it, suddenly you'll look at it, you're like, you know, my kids are taken care of their education. Okay. Now you don't have that pressure. And then you're suddenly like, you know what? My house is paid off. Now, you know what? I have a dream for my practice. I'm going to put it in there and I'm going to make that happen. So I want to ask you that. So I want that for you and for the viewers.
Like
and then the other thing I'm big on is how much time do you take off?
Too much. You ask my team members, they're going to say, when fall comes around, I'm gone. I'm hunting.
And but that's on weekends, right?
Not necessarily. I've taken a couple of weeks off.
Okay.
And
so
the way we're going to combat that is we have to have an associate.
Okay.
The office has to be open. It's just closed too much during those times. And every team member is going to be like agreeing right now.
Of course, because they want to get paid.
Oh,
they want to work.
It's a struggle for them, and it has been. It's just something my dad always taught. You know, we take time off to be with family.
And how much time do you take off?
Man, I don't know the exact number, which is sad.
Let's guess.
But I'm going to say probably total up 4 to 5 weeks.
Okay. But why can't you take 10?
Probably could. I want to.
Okay. But if you want to, so you asked me an important question. You asked me what your next level was, right? And so I would say many of us often think, and this is something I've learned very important in my life. I mean, you've seen my kids. They're 6, 8, no, 7, 9, yeah. 11 now. I keep saying 6, 8, and 10. But 7, 9, 11. And the next level for me is that time, right? And so I look at it this way is how are you going to get to 10 weeks off?
Yeah, I got
to. Or 8 weeks, or whatever the number is.
I think I have to find that emotional dentistry that's right. going to provide that.
So, and see, I love your answer. Your answer wasn't, I need to produce more. And the answer isn't no. The answer is you've got to produce more. You've got to produce the same in less time. And you can't do it doing fillings and crowns. And so what I would tell you as your next level is you need to get rid of those things that I think you're too good for. Okay? You need to be that lawyer who, when they started, did traffic tickets. Okay? But now is doing cases in the court. And if you go to your attorney and says, hey, I want to do this case in your court, I want you to take care of my traffic ticket. They can probably be like, well, I'm going to have my other attorney take care of that for you. Because he knows that if he spends his hour doing that, it's no way you can't possibly pay him the money that you need to pay him. And it's not about money. It's about the time.
It's time.
So you've got to get to a point where you and your practice, you are your own specialist in a way. Okay, you are doing those things that you like to do. And as you said, you need somebody else to do those things, the general dentistry. And that's where you need to cultivate an associate and whatever it takes. And I would tell you that you need an associate sooner than you think. You need to start sooner than you think. And you need to say, hey, I might find the right person, bring them in 1 day a week, 2 days a week. You know, I would ask you some personal questions like, you know, are you financially comfortable to take a couple of $1,000 hit here or there on a monthly basis, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 to justify having somebody in 1 or 2 days a week to see how it goes and transition your practice. And what I found when I was afraid to bring the associate in the first time, I said, okay, I'm going to do 1 day. And then I was like, 1 day, I don't even notice it. It's no big deal. 2 days. Okay. I don't notice that. 3 days. Next thing you know, it's 4 days, right? And the practice supports it. And I didn't notice that hit. And if I did notice that hit, it was always a couple of 3 months. That's all.
Yeah. I think that's the next step. I mean, we've got one right now we're looking at and I think it's going to work out great. And it's a scary, it's another disruption.
Yeah. Well, it's
but it's a good one because it's going to allow me to, it's going to allow me to get to that emotional portion, which, if anyone knows kind of how I work, it is an energized bunny in my office. And by the time I'm done, I don't even know how I function. I don't have an office. I don't have time to sit. We are doing the buccal pits. We are doing the crowns. We're doing the endo. We're doing extractions. We're doing everything.
Not we, you.
Me. And yeah, my team's as a provider, kind you. Of, we're all running around like chickens with their head cut off. Yeah. And it's a tough day.
So you tell me this, how are you supposed to do all in fours then?
Well, that's the problem. I'm trying to move.
How are you supposed to do more implants?
I can't. Right now, I can't.
How are you supposed to do these sleep appliances?
Can't.
What happens when you create awareness in the hygiene chair? Who in the hell is going to help the patient out? Who's going to take them through the process?
Yeah. Someone said, why are you not advertising more? Because you could get a lot more patients. I can't. I have no room for them.
So there's a lost cost of opportunity.
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing, and A, your facility is bound for another year. Okay. But these are the things I want our listeners to hear is that sometimes you can't reach your goals because something's stupid. Okay. Or simple. Okay.
You're stuck.
It's stuck because you're too big like me. I literally yesterday, Hutan, you were there today. You know, today, literally today, Liz came to me and said, hey, we got a patient that needs a root canal and crown. And she goes, I looked at your schedule and, you can't do it till middle of March. And I'm like, so you're telling me, and she goes, give me the name of your dentist friend.
It's a conversation we're in right now.
I'm like, so you're telling me that I'm saying no to $2,000 production because next week somebody booked me a filling.
That's a sad reality, but
it's the truth, right?
It's the truth.
So I'm going to go to the team Monday morning and I'm going to be like, so I referred a root canal and crown that takes me an hour and a half to do to somebody because you guys booked me a filling.
That's a slap in the face. I mean, it's
reality. It happens day in and day out. And I know you can say, well, come in on Thursday. Well, I'm booked on Thursdays. I'm booked on Fridays.
We're booked out.
Or what happens is that starts eating into your family life. And then you get that burnt out feeling. Then you get that feeling of I'm working too much.
I like my job. I don't want to.
All those things, right? So at some point you have to have non-negotiables. And I'm proud of Liz saying, because I told Liz, you know what? I'll come in on Thursday. She's like, no, I'm not doing it. Because that means I got to come in.
Jesus says.
She said, like but it's not that, but she's there anyway, right?
Sure.
But she says, what you're doing is you're accommodating to other people's mistakes. And so this is going to sting you. And I'm like, you're right, it's going to sting me. So now you can do something about it. Well, I think they're telling us we have to go to my son's basketball game.
Let's go.
So let's go. So, Brian, thank you for being here. And thank you for having me. It was awesome.
Thanks so much for listening to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal. Remember to keep striving for excellence, and we'll catch you on the next episode.